Spirit, come into my mouth and open my heart. Bless these men. Give them a spirit of courage and grace and openness to reflect your love. Blessed Mother, be with us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us. Whenever we talk about the call to holiness, it's never a theoretical concept. It's always a daily struggle to overcome my temptations, my weaknesses. Now, in your baptisms, guys, you all know this, you have the grace to be a saint. A saint. Now, what's really great about this time in the church, at least for me, is that it's a real call of conversion. Look, you get one chance to be heroic. One chance. Okay? That's it. And you got to make up your mind. And you might not be the best dad or the best husband or the best uncle, but you got to make up your mind that you want to overcome the stuff in your life. Because that's really what it's about. It's about configuring my life to Christ. That's the whole process. Configure my life to Christ. There was a girl that went to St. John's High School. Her dad is here, Mo. Mo, can you raise your hand? A year ago, his daughter died. First day of college at the University of Kentucky. Anyway, she had this health issue in her head, AVM. She came into my life because one of the teachers at St. John's asked me to walk with her. Anyway, one of the first times I came in, she just didn't have that bubbly high school stuff. But after two or three meetings, began to realize, like, man, this kid gets it. She gets it. Missed most of her junior year. But she would come to me with these pounding headaches because of the head stuff. And after a while, I would anoint her and get to know her and all that stuff. And then I'd say, look, sweetheart, you got to fight. You got to fight in that hallway at St. John's High School. You need to smile when you don't want to smile. Sweetheart, you got to talk to that teacher when you don't want to talk to that teacher. Say, hey, thank you. She was used by God in this life to do those things. When she got sicker, people came into the church. The old man, mom, got first communion, confirmation, all that stuff. But the ripple continues. Gabby's ripple is still being felt. People are still coming into the church because of Gabby. Now, what's a 19-year-old kid have to do with that? Zero. But she configured her life to Christ. What is the fruit of your life? Like, what is the fruit that you can say, Dad, my uncle really went deeper into the mystery of God's love and showed it, demonstrated it? Where we are in a time in the church is a great invitation of love. It's a great invitation of conversion. But it demands that everybody goes there in their own path to holiness. The practical reality of all of that is each of you has to figure out what are going to be the serious sacrifices that you're going to make in reparation for the sins of the church. I'm going to list about 10 of them because this is what the church has said. First, give up lunch or a meal on a regular basis. Something. If you use that money normally to buy a sandwich, donate it to the poor. Sincerely put that money aside and give that to the poor. If you always go to Starbucks and you get a $7 cup of coffee, right? Give that to the poor. Number two, consider some sacrifice when it comes to how you shower. Turn the water off, cold shower. I don't care. Do something. Because the more that you guys feed the sensuality of your bodies, the little inconveniences are what are affecting you. Here's what happens. Air conditioning goes out in the church one day, and it's 86 degrees, and you think people are going to start wilting and dying. That's the culture. Meanwhile, in El Salvador, it's like 190 degrees and feels like 270 degrees, and they're just plugging along. You can tell the depth of sensuality in your life, ready, by how the little inconvenience weighs you down like an old lady. Oh gosh, it's so impossible. Seriously, if your body is elevated above that, hot, cold, discouraged, you're just going to keep going. You're going to keep plugging along. But when your mind gets preoccupied, you're like, oh, it's so hot. Okay? That shows you that your senses are so overstimulated with what they want that you're not a free man. Thirdly, what you drink. What you drink, especially the booze. Like really, not everybody needs a cocktail when they get home. Okay? Sometimes people say, oh, I need one. No, you don't. You'd be fine without one. All right? Because that's the culture that I think has also been sort of created. Like, oh, I need a drink. Again, it's that woundedness. I don't see the saints being like, oh, yeah, I need dessert. I didn't read in the life of St. John Vianney. And St. John Vianney heard 13 hours of confessions, and he wrote to his confessees, and I need dessert. I mean, what weakness. I'm not being mean, but I just hear that stuff all the time. Fourthly, you got to get up on time. Like, get up on time. Stop lounging. If your stinking alarm goes off, get up. If you don't want to get up at 7:30, don't snooze for 2 hours. Get up. Fifthly, I want to challenge some of you guys to take the step and do what the saints did. They slept on the floor occasionally. Just do it. You don't have to sleep on the wood. But I promise you, you'll get up better. Because you just throw that sheet on the ground and throw your pillow, and then you get up. You can't sleep in the Venus flytrap and then expect you're going to get up right away. You know, you sit in the bed and it's like, okay, you're dead. Okay? I've been in hotels when I go to celebrate marriages, right? And you get in bed and it's like, yeah, well, of course I'm not getting out. Right? And all the little chickadees that were there the last 10 years in that bed are with me in that bed. You know what I mean? And you're like, holy cow, I'm overstimulated. I'm overwhelmed. I want to challenge you to do it for 5 days on the floor. Do a certain night of the week. Don't make a big deal about it. No one even really needs to know. Just tell your lovely wife, hey, I'm doing this for the church. I'm doing this because I want to be heroic. You got to back it up. Sixthly, you got to work hard at work. You're not entitled to daydream. When you and I work hard, then we show to the world a heroic witness like St. Joseph. The only compliment to sacrifice is hard work. Number 7, daily rosary. Half on the way in, work, half on the way out, I don't care. But there's got to be a real effort to have a Marian devotion. She will bring healing into the church. And a conscious awareness of what you're doing. Number 8, divine mercy. We already did it. What the church, what the world needs now is mercy. Daily. You can do it. Number 9 is monthly confession. Monthly confession. As you guys know, I have confessions almost every day. You know, when I don't have a funeral. I know every other pastor is busier than me. That's what I'm told. God bless them. I don't know what that's like. Because everybody tells me my pastor's too busy for hearing confessions. I was like, well, just come to me. I've got nothing to do. I'm just answering the phone and telling people when bingo is. And I'm available for dinners any nights of the week, guys. I got nothing after 4. No. That's just ridiculous. Regular confession. And lastly, of course, is Sunday Mass, and if you can get to a daily Mass. Okay? Now, those are not all new concepts. But I do want to emphasize that you have to look for the moments of deeper faith. What was the purpose of Jesus Christ when he came to earth? He came to restore the love that we have for the Father. Christ came to renew the love of the people of Israel. They had gone astray. They were false. They had false gods. And so Christ comes to humanity to redirect our hearts to the Father. The glory of Christ is that, what? When you and I are looking with our eyes to God the Father, that is ultimately what Christ came to do. So the grace that you have is to be configured to Christ so that you become more Christ-like. More Christ-like. The ultimate passion of Christ was, as I told you yesterday, to lay down his life. Look, you can't get away from it. The Christian man is called to lay down his life, period. Because you are a little Christian. You are a little Christ. The kingdom of God is within you. That's what the scripture says. So we can never get away from the idea, yes, Christ came to forgive sins, fine. Christ came to serve the poor, fine. Christ came for social justice, fine. That's not the calling. That's what he did. That's not why he came. Christ came to die. The Christian man is actually supposed to be the man who has died to himself. The Christian man is the one who is not attached to all the sensualities. When do you guys start huffing and puffing when you got to take care of your kids or take out the trash when you think you are entitled to do something? Oh, I thought today was my day off, or I was going to go play golf. That's not it. Look at all of your entitlements. That's what's broken. That's what's broken. I said to a guy recently, a buddy priest, we were talking. He's like, yeah, I got a funeral on my day off. I said, okay, fine. He said, yeah, we were joking. I was like, why do they always die and then want to have the funeral on the day off? And I was like, I don't know. I say, but you know what's great? I don't know how many people in El Salvador have days off. Darn it. I have no idea. I said, that dad with four kids, that's the farmer, you know, and he's working all the time. That sucker. I don't know how many days off he's got. And the 80-year-old lady that's still selling her little whatever's on the side of the road because, well, she didn't save enough for retirement. I don't get it. Guys, you got your one chance. The only difference between me and those people is the fact that I was just born in a different place because I'm too weak-kneed to be born in El Salvador and work my tail off like those guys. Seriously. Could you hang in Africa for a year and a half? Could you hang in El Salvador with the MS-13 chasing your kids? Christ came to die. Wherever your thought process is of entitlement, or I don't like this, so I'm taking my game and going somewhere else, that's not what God wants. He wants you exactly where you are right now. And the power of the grace is that when you and I are all caught up in sensuality and self, and this isn't fair, you are guilty of the sin of selfishness. You're with me, right? You're just being selfish. Nowhere in the Christian identity of Christ does it say that Christ was upset because he didn't get his way. But it's creeped in. The old man is coming alive in so many Catholic men and so many Catholic priests, and like, well, that's not fair, but that's not what I signed up for. Well, you signed up for it when you got confirmed. You signed up for it every time you go to Holy Communion. It is a sacrifice. The grace that every single one of you has is the choice to give until it hurts. And Christ came to lay down his life, to restore humanity to restore our eyes back to the Father. And what he does, yes, he serves the poor. He cares for the needy. He does that. But ultimately, what we have to drive at is, where is the man of sacrifice? Where is the generous man? Is that you? Are you the generous man who says, I'll do it. I'm generous with it. I can go the extra mile. Otherwise, I don't think you have a voice in the criticism of the church. Because the wound that's taken place is people centrally seeking themselves. That's what we're dealing with. The devil of sensuality. And on your baptism day, when you died, the grace that you received was to strengthen you so that you become an integral instrument of what the church needs. Of course, why did Christ come and take on humanity? So he could suffer with us. So he could carry his cross with us. So he could say, I've identified myself with you. And the Father, what did he do, guys? He sacrificed his only begotten Son. The sacrifice doesn't begin with Christ. Are you with me? It started with the Father. God the Father sacrificed his Son. That's what we're talking about. God the Father lays down his Son. That's why we're alive. That's why we have freedom. The first sacrifice is the Father speaking into the heart of the Son and the Son saying, yes, I will be the Lamb of God. I accept. That's us. That's our stinking vocation. It's never been anything less than that. Priest, religious, layman, who cares? The Christ in you says, I accept the willingness to be sacrificed. It's an engagement. What's happened to that? That's always been the message. But we wrap it up because that's uncomfortable. And how do you express it? Through yourself overcoming sensuality. That's where it is, guys. It's that simple. God the Father said to Christ, will you willingly accept to be sacrificed? He said, Abba, Father. And he comes and he dies. And Christ died. And then he turns to all of those ones that are configured to him. And he says to the heart of every single one of us, okay, you don't have to have nails in your hands. And you don't have to have a cross. But will you sacrifice with me? That's what it's all about. And is there any question in your heart that as the sensuality rises in the heart of a man, the faith lowers? Think about it. Look at the lives of the saints. Those guys were burning with love for Christ. Why? Because the sensuality in them was going down, 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 and their faith was rising. Exactly. When we have a power with the grace of God and sensuality goes down in my heart, my neediness, my dependency, oh, I don't like this nonsense. When that stuff goes down, I promise you, then your faith rises. Why? Because it's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice of the altar. I've said to guys all the time, well, I don't know where my faith is. I was like, well, tell me about your sacrificial life. Well, what do you mean, Father? It's not Lent. That's my point. That's when it's love. Don't do it because you have to do it. Do it because your love is there. Because if you are loving your sensualities, this is when it becomes simply a symbol. The bread becomes a symbol. I see it constantly. When is it most prevalent when people struggle with their faith? In high school and college. And what is skyrocketing during that time? Sensuality. And what is the biggest attack on this? It's pornography. Guys, look in your hearts. When pornography is going through the roof in your heart, when you are falling into sin, do you really be like, oh, let me just go to the sacrifice of the Mass? Let me enter into it. And all of a sudden it's like, come on. Have the eyes to see the deeper reality. And I propose to you that the reason why the sacrifice has lost its efficacious grandeur when it comes into the heart of the priest, because we become sensualized. We become sensualized. We become the needy guy that just needs it. No. What are we supposed to be as priests? Missionaries. That's the whole calling. Not some old widow wrapped up in a mansion. We're supposed to be missionaries. That's what the culture needs. And that's how you become identified with Christ. That's exactly the calling. But you can't do it alone. And I'm sad to say that priests can't do it alone either. At the end of last Lent, I told some of you, or 2 Lents ago, I got a letter from a guy that I love. And he said to me, hey, Father, God bless you. Keep up the good work. I told you, I didn't know this. He slept on the floor every day of Lent, right? And he said, yeah, I just did it for you to persevere and have courage. You know, I added an extra mass or two at my parish during Lent. I kept the note, right, for a couple of years. Maybe it's a couple of years ago. And I sent it back to him. I said, just want to let you know how much this note meant to me. Right? And I got to tell you, the note was a gift and a burden. It was a total gift. And it was a great burden because I was like, that sucker, I'm doing it back. Punk, right? Competition, right? We love competition, right? That's why Father Swink and I always get along so much, because we're always competing against each other, right? But I want you to look at that. I think, guys, when you and I can get to that place and we do it out of pure love, then we are actually living the Christian life. I don't know why the Father sent the Son. Why did God the Father send the Son? Ask yourself today, why? What kind of father consents to that? And then I'm baptized, and I don't really care that the Son died. I mean, I care because I have a cross around my neck. But I just don't know why the Father sent the Son. I've been chewing on that for a couple of weeks. What's your point? Like, wouldn't it have been better if we just train wrecked, start over? But it's because the Father had to sacrifice. All the prophets that the Father sent were useless. People couldn't hear. But they were still sent. But you know what got everybody's attention, right? Was when Christ sacrificed his life on the cross. Sacrifice will always have authority over healing and grace. Always. It will always be the authoritative voice in the house. If you've ever noticed, we've even watered down what the Mass is, right? I'm going to church. I go to St. Andrew's. But really, what do you do when you go to the Holy Mass? I go to the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. The voice of Christ has authority because of the sacrifices. When we look in the lives of the saints, sometimes we're edified by the really great example. But in the miracles and the preaching, but I think we fail to understand that, like, what was behind the reality of their preaching, prayer and sacrifice? It's got to get to a place, guys, in your lives where you really sincerely don't just follow the rules, but you do it out of love. By configuring yourself to Christ through your prayer and through your sacrifices, you become what you've always been intended to be, an image of Christ. Nothing configures you more to Christ than sacrifice. Nothing. We have Christians that are out telling everybody it's okay to abort a baby in the name of God. They're serving the poor. I mean, we got a lot of confused Christians in the world, Catholics. And they're serving. So it's not in service. That doesn't unify you. Because anybody can serve selfishly for the attention. But if you really want to understand who is Christ, who is the Father, then it's found in sacrifice. Because otherwise, we can just think that Christ was just some miracle worker. Like, really look at Christ. What really attracts us, what hangs above our churches, above our altars, is not him healing the blind man or walking on the water or the deaf guy. What hangs above every altar is a cross, is a crucifix. Is it any wonder why we are afraid to sacrifice? Because, here's the bell ringer, it demands a personal responsibility. It's your will that needs to be configured. So we can say, it's not that important. Okay, fine, it's not that important. You're right. You are absolutely right. But just remember that you ran. You gave up. Why do I go there? Because somewhere in our theology, this was lost. And we don't know. And then the priests became centralized. And they no longer became victims. They just became really great administrators and great at handing out sandwiches. Father, that's not why you lay down on the cold marble floor that day on your ordination. You lay down your life so that you could give your life in gratitude to God. That's what edifies, guys. Really look in your heart, guys. What do you want from your priests? Yeah, they might be great in all those actions. You want really a guy that's died to himself, a guy that's suffering with you. That's what the church needs. Nothing less. When I was in El Salvador a couple of weeks ago, this priest has 10 missions, right? So he's got this other guy, and the last weekend there, I had 4 masses on Sunday, and then I went with him to 2 places and heard about 4 hours of confessions during those times, right? It's like this makeshift confessional. Literally, I was about 10 feet from this cow, right? And every time one of the people, like, let out a big doozy of a sin, the cow was like, yeah. It was really comical. Because I was looking at these, and I couldn't understand some of them, right? Thank God for the grace of the sacrament, right? Because they were talking some jives Spanish, right? And I wasn't even close to it, right? And I was like, great, great, gracias, padre, gracias. You know, big kiss on the cheek from the 90-year-old lady, right? It's like, all right, well, you're only getting a Hail Mary. Get out, right? But, like, here I am in this encounter, right? It's not a sterile environment. It's this crazy priest running to 10 missions. 10 missions. Like, isn't that what the priesthood is? It's not the guy that's like huffing and puffing about a second mass. It's the guy that's giving it. Why? Because rooted in that is sacrifice. When we identify with Christ, my will is strengthened. I surrender to God's love. And there's great freedom, guys. Because then you can run lightly. You can live freely in the culture. Examine yourself. Are you weighed down by your own stuff? By the things in your heart? Are you weighed down by the things that you think you are entitled to? I'm not saying you don't have a voice to say it. But if you're constantly weighed down by, then it's hard to be free. And it's going to be harder to sacrifice. Because we're going to run to the candy and all of those little knickknacks so that we can actually be satiated. Christ on the cross says, I thirst. And how beautiful is that thirst? To thirst in the midst of God's love, for God's love, for the love of humanity. But I think only a thirst from humanity now rooted in sacrifice will be an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Until you and I recognize that Christ said, I thirst, and he was speaking to humanity, to the culture, He thirsts for people to be like him. I can't imagine what a church would look like if we really embrace the graces that we've been given as men. But I think therein lies the struggle. God has allowed you to have great imperfections and brokenness. Thanks be to God. Those are gifts, gifts, gifts. So the man in the chapel who struggles with something, that is the most pleasing sacrifice to God. The man who struggles with that. Don't betray Christ with a kiss by running to that object. Amen? Don't tell Christ, I love you, and then run to your computer. That's a lie. That's what Judas did. Oh, yeah, Lord, I love you. I love you, Lord. Who wouldn't love you? You're really great at miracles. He's like, let me, I'll be back. I'll be back in 10 minutes. Those of you guys, whatever your predominant struggle is, that is the pleasing sacrifice to God. If it's booze, then address it. If it's pornography, then make up your mind. Throw the stinking thing out. Keep your phone off. Buy a flip phone. Whatever needs to be done. But how is the church ever going to heal? Because we've already seen that it's not going to always be led by priests. I think that's the biggest challenge for us men. It demands that you're willing to address it as it is. And here's the great freedom. I find that as I do these things in my own life, I'm righteously justified in my anger. But anger doesn't control me. It's a totally different ballgame. I have an authoritative voice. I'll speak the truth, and I have spoken the truth with charity, with passion, but I address it. But I'm not letting anger control me. Because the evil one can't grab me. It's like he's grabbing me and I've got oil all over me as I pray and I fast. He can't throw me to the ground. He says, look what that priest did. Look what the bishop did. Doesn't work. If you're getting chucked on the ground all the time, sucker punched, then you got to figure out what is the evil one punching in you. It's something much deeper than the culture and the church. Much, much, much deeper. And then you will have the pleasing sacrifice to God. Does everybody get this? Hello? Is there any question about it? This is what we need. This is the freedom I'm inviting you to. I promise you, you will not lose your life. You will gain your life. Because if you are oppressed by patterns of sin or anger, you have lost your life. You are just an angry, tied up pit bull. That's not God. I'm going to close just with a song. This is Paul. I heard him playing the guitar. I don't know if he's any good. He's going to just sing a song, just kind of settle us. You're kind of free now. 10:45, we'll do benediction. But just want you to kind of think in your hearts, right? What do I need to turn over? I just don't understand God the Father. Seriously. He was either really loving or an abusive father. Why would you ever give your son to people ungrateful? Why? Makes no sense. So 10:45, we'll do benediction. So welcome to listen. Or he'll just going to play a few songs, okay?